Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we talk about a right response and that it takes us in the right direction. And so let's pray. O God, you are our source in all things. You are present in our lives in more ways than we can tell. Would you be in what is said this day? Be also in our listening and speak to our hearts so that we can hear you. In Christ's name, Amen. Our reading for today is from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 1 to 10, and I'm reading from the NIV. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see the strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. There are moments in every person's life where we have the opportunity to move in the right direction, and the challenge is to do so with conviction and to do so without regrets. The assumption being that God has led us in the right direction, and so to go in the right direction is to give a right response to God, which means that we move in faith that God is with us. Thus, this is not only about doing right things, which is always required but does not always happen. Rather, it is about offering the right response so as to move in the right direction, and as we take steps in that direction, to strive to do the right things. Responding to God correctly often brings us to watershed moments that may adjust the course we were on or change the course completely. These moments are the times when God reveals himself to people, to Moses, and to us in our day. But whereas the experience of Moses is somewhat unique and, some might say, not repeatable, such moments are not nearly as huge as what we have read about in our text for today. But sometimes they might be. For Moses, it was an unexpected encounter with God, an event that would change the course of his existence in a very right and redemptive way. Since the previous event that changed everything for him, when in a rage he killed an Egyptian overseer of slaves, resulted in him having to flee for his life to an unknown future as a fugitive, leaving behind all the comforts and privileges of an adopted son of one of Pharaoh's daughters, as well as his people, the children of Israel. And so, in our story, we know that Moses gives himself to God's direction, and it stands for us as an example that no matter how opportunities present themselves, they are all occasions to respond in terms of God's direction, meaning in accordance with Scripture. Another fact is that moving in the right direction is not always a comfortable experience, as Moses discovered all along the course of the rest of his life. But knowing that God was with him on the journey was a great comfort, and this is comforting to us as we walk with God. God is able to meet people in their particular circumstances for the purpose of moving them in a different or new direction than the path they are currently on. No doubt they will be recognizable moments. However, Moses would need something profound to take him on the path that God was going to reveal to him. It would be a scene constructed by God alone, designed to give Moses the opportunity to understand the enormity of the task that he wanted him to undertake. A bush that burned, but was not being destroyed by the fire. So amazing was the scene that when Moses saw the burning bush, he said to himself, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." God initiated the meeting, and Moses responded in the right direction, literally and figuratively. It is often the case that for some people, however, a burning bush moment becomes the event, when instead it is really the first step in a long journey of faith and trust in God. For Moses, that moment would define his life and work and who he was. And whatever groundwork that may have taken place in his life in the courts of Pharaoh, whatever other formative periods which may have been part of his experience as he lived in exile up to that point, all will have served to equip him for the task at hand. To be sure, it would not have been immediately apparent to him, for we know he offered a range of excuses to God as to why he was not the right person for the job. Yet, in going, it probably became a bit clearer, and his obedience would take him on a journey unlike anything he had known up to that point. Although it was always the case, he was now properly conscious of the fact that his life was truly in God's hands and that he would be living for God's purposes. In a similar and likely less dramatic or life-threatening way, this is what happens when we take a step in the right direction in response to God's call to follow Jesus. Often, though, people live with no sense of having stepped over that line of responding to God in obedience to his call, which really is a revelation that is graciously given through the Holy Spirit, who is also depicted as a fire that burns but does not consume. Salvation is not a revelation thought out by man. It is not a conclusion arrived at by any logical deduction, for it is always God who initiates, and we respond. This applied to the disciples of Jesus. As they left what they were doing to follow him, it really was a watershed moment for them. They may have thought it was a good idea, and much of what Jesus said may have made sense. But Jesus clarified everything when, in John chapter 15, verse 16, he said the following, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." And so, in the face of this revelation, a task was set before them that would be all-consuming, a lifetime to attend to carrying the most important message to a dark world out there. As God drew them, so he draws us into an encounter with him that has radical consequences as we willingly continue to respond in the right direction. Not living only on some aging tales of God moving in and through us, as glorious as they are, but breaking new ground from time to time as we live for Christ each day. This will require us, as God's people, to hear God and live as authentic witnesses to the saving, transforming power of the living Lord Jesus Christ. Thus we are to always embrace God's call on us to be his witnesses, and then to take the journey and constantly move in the right direction. It is a journey that is full of wonderful, joyful moments, as well as those that are difficult, even hard to bear. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 to 26, Jesus pulled no punches when he said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to come with me, he must forget self, carry his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his own life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Will people gain anything if they win the whole world but lose their life? Of course not. There is nothing they can give to regain their life. That we bear our respective crosses for Christ tells us that the road will be marked with suffering. For it is a life that turns from the comfortable, the superficial, the light-hearted, to follow Jesus with bowed back, burdened by a cross. And yes, it is at the same time filled with joy and peace, and the thrill of being alive and in God's hands, as well as the assurance from Jesus that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. As we draw to a close then, just think how Moses' life took a radical turn from the safety of predictable sheep herding to dealing with a hard enemy and a harsh environment, as well as a very difficult people in the form of the children of Israel. He had to stay the course and fix his eyes on the God of the burning bush. For us, we too must stay the course and fix our eyes on Jesus, who died and rose again so that we might, in the end, be part of the resurrection. All along life's journey, we will reach places that are watershed moments to some degree or another. By God's Spirit, if we listen carefully, we will know if it is God calling us on a certain path or not. Part of the process is to ask, God, is that you or is it just me? If we are responding in the right direction as we live our lives each day, we can do so by faith, and nothing, neither the good nor the bad, should persuade us of the rightness of our journey. The rightness of it, coupled with obedient faith, will always enjoy the presence and assurance that only the Holy Spirit can give. And as a result, we are able to think clearly and pray, and also return to Paul's guidance that whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things, which is not an encouragement to live with our heads in the clouds, so that obvious error, immorality, or wrongdoing fades in the mists of unsophisticated and immature Christian evaluation. Rather, thinking on those things is to think on God's goodness and reflect those virtues in our lives, as well as to understand the world around us on the basis of those virtues. And why would we do that? Because we have responded in the right direction to God's call on our lives. And so may God help us all as we live to be His witnesses in an increasingly confused and dark world. Let us pray. Gracious God, just as you called Moses so long ago, so you called each one of us to live, to speak, and to act on your behalf in our world today. Forgive us when we are hesitant to follow, when we question your call or make excuses for our abilities, when we fail to be visible in your name. Give us courage to step out in faith, we pray, to follow where you lead without hesitation or fear, trusting that your presence goes with us and that you will provide all that we need. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.